Once again, it's good to see everyone who's here at the meeting this evening, here to hear the message of the gospel, the message of salvation, the glorious invitation that comes from the Lord Jesus, the Saviour of sinners. I'd like to read a few short passages this evening. First of all, in Matthew's gospel, they're all going to be in Matthew, in Matthew's gospel in chapter 4. Matthew's gospel in chapter 4. And we'll read from verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Over into chapter 9, please. Just one verse in chapter 9. And Matthew, the writer of the Gospel, is recording his own account, his own the time when he heard the call of the Lord Jesus, verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew, sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. Over into chapter 16. Chapter 16 and verse 24. The Lord Jesus here is outlining something of what it will mean to follow him. Verse 24, Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And finally, please, over in chapter 19. Chapter 19 and verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is, God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honour thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now we look to God to bless the reading of his word to us this evening. When we think of the message of the gospel and some of the hymns that we've been singing, particularly the last one that we've been singing tonight, we'll speak of an invitation that goes out to everybody. An invitation that goes out in a general sense. For example, the Lord Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, in chapter 11, he said, Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that's a general invitation, isn't it? It's an invitation that goes out to whoever wants to respond to it. The Lord Jesus says, if you're weary, if you're burdened, if you know something of the burden of sin, if you know something of the weight of guilt in your life, Then come to me, and I will give you rest. On another occasion in John's Gospel, in chapter 7, the Lord Jesus, he stood up in the middle of the temple, and he cried out to anyone who was listening. He says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. Now, of course, the Lord Jesus wasn't standing there with a water trough or anything like that, ready to give out refreshment to those who were coming. The Lord Jesus wasn't talking about physical refreshment. He wasn't talking about physical thirst. He was talking about spiritual thirst. He was calling out to those who are dissatisfied, to those who are empty, to those who feel and realize that there's something more to life than what they have, that there's something missing at the very center of their lives. I wonder this evening whether you realize that there's something missing. Is there something missing in your life? You know, there are many people that do realize that. There are many people that would seek to fill their lives with all kinds of things. And there's many pursuits that we can go in for. Some people are workaholics, aren't they? They go, and really they can't get enough of work. And they'll work, and they'll work, and they'll work. But I wonder if they're satisfied with working. Other people seek for satisfaction in relationships with other people. Others seek for satisfaction in all kinds of ways. I wonder where it is this evening that you're looking for satisfaction in your life. I want to tell you the Lord Jesus is the one who offers complete satisfaction. One day the Lord Jesus was talking to a woman by a well. And he asked her for a drink of water. And when she remarked upon the fact that he was actually talking to her, he said, if you knew the gift of God, and if you knew who it was who asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. You see, this woman, she had to come day after day after day to the well to get physical water to satisfy her thirst. And really, that was just a little picture of her life as it was. Because this lady had no satisfaction. This lady had a deep-seated emptiness in her life that she was trying to fill. And she says, and the Lord Jesus said to her when she said, you've not got any water to draw with, how can you give me any water in the first place? The Lord Jesus says to her, look, whoever drinks of this water, the water out of this well, he's going to be thirsty again. That's the way of things, isn't it? That's the way of life. But whoever drinks of the water that I give will never thirst. But it will be in them a well of water, a spring of water, a fountain of water, springing up into everlasting life. I want to ask you this evening, have you got everlasting life? Do you know what it is to have everlasting life? You say, but everybody dies. Everybody dies. Sooner or later, their life comes to an end and everybody dies. What is this everlasting life that you're talking about? This everlasting life is the life that only God can give. This everlasting life is a life that the Lord Jesus can give because he died on the cross for us. We'll think about that in a little while. This eternal life is the life of God, a life with God. In heaven, forever. A life that's of a completely different kind to physical life that we enjoy. A life that is satisfied. A life that is joyful. A life that knows that whatever happens is well with my soul. I wonder this evening, do you know that it's well with your soul? Is it well with your soul this evening? But as we've said, these invitations that we've been thinking about so far are general invitations, aren't they? They're invitations going out to whoever's going to listen. They're invitations that are broadcast to the people around. But the Lord Jesus gave specific invitations. And we read of some of them tonight. Invitations to specific individuals. And there were individuals who, when the Lord Jesus was here, heard the call of the Saviour. There were fishermen called Simon and Andrew and James and John. And the Lord Jesus said to them, "Follow me." And they did. There was a tax collector named Matthew sitting there going about his business. And the Lord Jesus, passing by him, said to him, "Follow me." And he did. There was a man who came to the Lord Jesus, a rich man. And the Lord Jesus said to him, "Follow me." And he didn't. And he didn't. See, the call of the Lord Jesus goes out, and it goes out specifically, and it goes out individually. And I want to ask you this evening, when you hear the gospel preached, and maybe you've heard it many, many times before, when you hear the gospel preached, it is a general invitation, isn't it? It's an invitation that goes out. But I wonder whether you've realized that the Lord Jesus is calling specifically to you. And I wonder this evening whether you realize that the Lord Jesus is calling to you as an individual this evening to follow him, to trust him. I want you to notice, well, we've said it was a general invitation. We've said it goes out to everybody. But really, the incidents that we've looked at this evening, the incidents that we've read, they kind of prove it. You see, the gospel is something that doesn't abide by social boundaries. It doesn't have anything to do with social boundaries. You see, you might say that Simon and Andrew, they were kind of working class people, weren't they? They were just fishermen. Humble fishermen who maybe hadn't had a great education. And then there was Matthew. And I guess Matthew really was a middle-class man, wasn't he? If they had class distinctions like that in those days, we do over here. But he was kind of middle-class businessman. He was a tax collector. He was sat there and he was educated. He could count and he could tot up figures and he could read. And he had a good going job. And the Lord Jesus called him. And then at the other end, at the end of the gospel, in chapter 19, we read of another man, and elsewhere you'll read of him, and he's a rich young man, and that was evident from the passage. And he's a young ruler. And I suppose you'd say, well, he was kind of in the upper classes. The Lord Jesus called him. You see, the Lord Jesus doesn't care what social class you come from. He doesn't care whether you're working class. He doesn't care whether you're middle class. You know, some people have the strange idea that the church is for middle class people. And that Christianity is for middle class people. And I guess when you come here and you see people dressed in suits and things like that, you might be tempted to think that. But we dress up smart because we're coming into the presence of God. Not because we're middle class. You see, the gospel goes out regardless of social boundaries. It goes out regardless of racial boundaries. The gospel goes out to everybody. The call of the Lord Jesus comes out to everybody as individuals. I want to ask you this evening again, have you heard him calling you? Has he called you by name? Has he said to you, "Follow me"? You see, if you've heard the call of the Lord Jesus, there's a choice that has to be made, isn't there? There's a choice that has to be made, whether you respond and whether you follow him or whether you don't. We had both responses in the readings this evening. It demands a response. There were those who obeyed, who left everything and followed him. And there's a man who counted the cost and didn't think it was worth it. You need to notice something. Did you notice it in the reading? There was only one man who was sorrowful. One man in the readings who was sorrowful. And that was the man who didn't follow the Lord Jesus. That's the man who went away without trusting. And I want to tell you this evening that those who come to the Lord Jesus will never be disappointed. And those who trust in Christ for salvation won't regret it. You see, it's not a decision to be regretted, even though the way might be difficult. We'll think about that shortly. Even though there might be things that we have to let go of and give up, I want to tell you it's worth it. It's worth trusting Christ. What does he say? He says to them, follow me. It's a simple command, isn't it? There's nothing complicated about it. And you know, there isn't anything complicated about the gospel message. There isn't anything complicated, there isn't anything difficult to understand about the message of salvation. Can be summed up in the words of Paul when he said to a jailer in Philippi, he says this, he says, believe, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And that's the essence of the gospel. That's the essence of the message of salvation. Believe, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. It's a promise in that, isn't there? That you will be saved. If you trust, you'll be saved. Says the Lord Jesus, follow me. He doesn't say, here's a set of rules, just do these and you'll be okay. He doesn't say, go away and read this book, and so on and so forth. He doesn't say, follow the teachings of this teacher or that teacher. Says the Lord Jesus, follow me. Simple, isn't it? Christianity is about Christ. And it's all about Christ. It's all about the Lord Jesus. It's all about trusting him. So, well, if he says, follow me, then really, you want to know a bit more about the person, don't you? If someone tells you to follow them, if you're wanting to know how to get somewhere, and someone says, oh, follow me, I'll take you there, you need to know one or two things about them. You want to know first, do they actually know where they're going? Now, it's a bit pointless following someone who doesn't have a clue where they're going. You want to know, too, if the person that you're following is reliable or whether they're going to deliberately get you lost and then ditch you. You wouldn't really want that, would you? You want to know if they're trustworthy. You want to know a little bit more about the person before you commit your life to them. Now, that's understandable and that's good. You see, that's why we hold meetings like this. It's to tell you about the Lord Jesus. It's to introduce you to the person of Christ. It's to tell you about the one who is absolutely perfect. The one who is the Son of God. God come down from heaven. The Bible calls it God manifest, on display in flesh. Now, isn't that amazing? He's the creator of all things, the one who made everything. He's the one who knows all about you. He's the one who knows how many hairs there are on your head. He's the one that gives you the breath that you breathe. He's the one that gives you your next heartbeat. He's the one that holds the whole universe together. I tell you, there's no one greater that you could trust than the Lord Jesus. There's nobody higher than he in the whole of the universe. But as we said, he's the one who came down to earth, came down as a man, came down to live amongst us, to show out God, to show us what God is like. And he did. And you can see something of it in his compassion, in his love, in his mercy, in his gracious dealings with people. You can see the one who loved people. You know something? In another gospel, it says about this rich young ruler who came to the Lord Jesus. It says the Lord Jesus, looking on him, loved him. Loved him. And the Lord Jesus is one who loves each one of us. Loves each one of us as individuals. Loves each one of us without partiality, without favoritism. Loves us all as equals. And he demonstrated that when he was here. You see, he had time for the outcasts. He had time for the lepers. He had time for people that other people looked down on. He had time too for the Pharisees, for the people that thought they were right. He had time for everybody. That's what God is like. But you know, the Lord Jesus showed something else about what God is like. Because the Lord Jesus lived a life that was absolutely sinless and absolutely pure. There's nobody else like that. See, the ruler that came to the Lord Jesus, the young man that came to the Lord Jesus, he liked to think that he was like that. He says, all these commandments that you brought before me, I've kept from when I was young right up to now. And he wasn't very old then. He says, all of them I've kept. I think he was a little bit selective. And maybe his memory wasn't that good. So I'm sure although he tried to keep them, there were maybe times when he did lie. And there were times, and there are times in each of our experience when we don't love other people just like we love ourselves. Times when we act selfishly, times when we act for our own interests, no matter how good we are, no matter how hard we try. You see, this young man had to realize that he wasn't right. This man had to realize that it wasn't by his efforts, it wasn't by his law keeping that he'd get into heaven. It was by following the Lord Jesus. By turning his back on everything else, by counting nothing as more important than coming to Christ. I wonder if you've realized this evening that. That there is nothing more important than coming to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. You see, the Lord Jesus was the only one who kept the law. Not just the laws that were mentioned there, but the laws that say you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your might. That sums up the first four commandments. Because none of us could match up to that. We've broken them. Time and time and time again, but the Lord Jesus hasn't. And the Lord Jesus didn't. The Lord Jesus demonstrated that God is pure and holy. He demonstrated it in his teaching. Because the teaching of the Lord Jesus and the things that he said bring things up onto such a high level. So pure, so holy. To a level that we can't possibly attain to. You see, we can't get to heaven by our efforts. We can't get to heaven by keeping the law. We can't get to heaven by doing the commandments. See, that's why the Lord Jesus came, not just to show us that we couldn't, but the Lord Jesus came to do something about it. See, the Lord Jesus came. And the purpose for his coming was that he might die. and that he might die on the cross of Calvary. Why? So that he could take the punishment for our sin. So that he could take all that's wrong with us, all the selfishness, all the pride, all the lying, all the cheating, all the swearing, everything else that is wrong about us. And he would take it, and he'd take it all on himself. And he was punished in our place. And so when the Lord Jesus says, "Follow me," he's the one who can offer eternal life. He's the one who can make sure that we get home safely to heaven. Because he's been the road of the cross. And he's taken our place. And he's satisfied God. And he's satisfied the justice of God. And so he offers salvation to all who will trust him. You know, he doesn't just say, "Follow me." But he says, "Follow me." That's the thing about English, isn't it? It means different things if you go, depending on where you put the emphasis. And you could say, "Follow me," and the emphasis is on the person that you're following. And you can't get to heaven without Christ. You cannot get to heaven without the Lord Jesus. You cannot be right with God without the Lord Jesus. But how can we be right? He says, "Follow me." You see, following involves trust, doesn't it? It involves trust. If you're following somebody, then you're trusting them to get you where they're wanting you to go to. Follow me. You know, 10, 11 years ago, we were in Italy. And I had a simple instruction. There were two sets of cars of us. And my brother-in-law was in the car in front, and I was in the car behind. I hadn't got a map. I didn't have a clue where we were going. We had a vague idea where we were going, but we didn't really know where we were going. And he says, "Follow me." And you know what? We got lost. And why did we get lost? There's probably a number of reasons for that. One of the reasons was, okay, it was dark, and it's difficult to pick out the car in front sometimes, but we took our eye off the car in front. And the other one was, I saw a signpost. And the signpost was pointing me to where I was wanting to go. And it looked like he'd missed the signpost. You see, I think I had trust issues. Trust issues that night. I thought, did he really know where he's going? You know, as a result of that, they got there an awful lot quicker than we did. And yes, we kind of got there, but he had to come out and find us. You see, the Lord Jesus says, "Follow me." And to follow someone, you have to trust them. And that brings us back to the verse that we quoted, wasn't it? Believe, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. If you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's when you'll know salvation. That's when you'll know forgiveness. That's when you'll know that the future is secured and that you've got a home in heaven. But it's not just a question of trust, is it? It's a question of obedience. Because if we're following where someone leads, then we have to do what they lead, don't we? If they're leading somewhere and they turn right, then we have to turn right. If they turn left, we've got to turn left. It's a question of obedience, trusting and obeying, trusting and doing what he tells us. See, that's what the Christian life's about, is trusting the Lord Jesus and is being obedient to him. The hymn writers put it like this, and we can't really put it better ourselves. He said this: trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. And so there's a choice to make. The choice is quite simple, is do we follow or don't we? But there's not only a choice to make, but there's a cost involved. There's a cost involved. We've already spoken about what it cost the Lord Jesus that we could be saved. It cost him everything. It cost him his life. It cost him to be rejected and abused and mocked and spat upon and thrown out and crucified. It cost him to be abandoned by the God of heaven there on the cross so that we could be saved. So that salvation could be offered freely to us. And it is free. But there is a cost. So that doesn't make sense. Well, the cost is this. But to follow the Lord Jesus will mean going in a different direction from others. Might mean going in a different direction from family. Might mean going in a different direction from the friends that we have. It might mean suffering hostility. It might mean being laughed at. And you need to weigh up. Is it worth it? Following the Lord Jesus might mean giving up things. It might mean not going to places that we once went. It might mean not doing things that we once did. And we have to weigh up. Is it worth it? Actually, maybe the question is not is it worth it, but is he worth it? Is he worth it? Because after all, it's following him. And it's all about him. So said it might mean being ridiculed. It might mean being laughed at. It certainly means, as the Lord Jesus said in chapter 16, it means taking up the cross. It means denying self. Saying no to self and yes to Christ. Taking up the cross means taking sides with the man whom the world has rejected and cast out and says we don't want anything with. Taking sides with the man whom they said he deserves to die. It means following a path that might mean opposition and hostility and hatred. But listen to what the Lord Jesus said in chapter 16. He says, whoever will or whoever wants to save his life shall lose it. I want to ask you tonight, are there things that you want to hang on to? Are there things in your life that you don't want to give up? Things in your life that would be an absolute wrench to give up, and you know that if you become a Christian, you're going to have to. Says the Lord Jesus, the one who holds on to his life will lose it. And whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. If we're prepared to give up everything for him, for my sake, even down to losing our life, counting our life as not worth holding on to for him. Says the Lord Jesus, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world? Mind you, there are those that try to do that, aren't there? There are those that will try and amass riches and wealth and will seek to get what they can, but you know something, they can't take it with them. Says the Lord Jesus, what's a man profited? What was it really worth it? Though he were to gain the whole world and lose his own soul. There's nothing more important than your soul. There's nothing more important than your soul's eternal well-being and your soul's eternal salvation. I want to tell you this evening, there's nothing more important than trusting Christ. This is a decision you've got to face up to. It's a choice that you've got to make personally. I can't make it for you. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What would you give? What could you possibly give to satisfy God so that your soul could be saved? If you were to amass the whole of the wealth of the world and give it and offer it to God, it's his anyway. And he doesn't need it. And it's not enough. It wouldn't be enough. The Lord Jesus has done what's necessary. The Lord Jesus has given himself so that your soul can be saved. Will you trust him? Will you follow him? There were those that heard him. Left behind their fishing nets. They left behind their livelihood. Others, they were washing their nets, they were mending their nets, and they left it behind, and they left family behind. There's another man, and he left his money behind. And they followed the Lord Jesus. But there was another man. There was another man who came with a good intention. And he came with a good question. He wanted to have eternal life. But he wanted to have it on his own terms. And when the Lord Jesus said, basically, it's me or nothing. It's me or nothing. He chose nothing. A crazy choice, wasn't it? But he wanted to hold on to what he had. And as a result, he missed Christ. What's your response going to be this evening? As you hear the call of the Lord Jesus, as he says to you as an individual, follow me. Will you follow him? Or will you try and go your own way? Or will you try and hold on to things that you know you can't hold on to if you trust Christ? What's it going to be this evening? Shall we pray? And Father, we thank thee tonight for the Lord Jesus. We thank thee, Father, for the one who calls to follow him. And we thank thee, Father, for the one who's gone on ahead. We thank you, Father, for the one who knows the circumstances through which we'll pass. And we thank you, Father, for the one who's able to deliver us and save us and bring us safe home to heaven. We thank you for the greatness of the work that he's done. We thank you for the greatness of his person. We thank you for the one who's completely reliable, completely worth trusting. We thank you, Father, for those in the hall this evening that have trusted him as their Saviour. But we pray, Father, that if there's anyone here tonight that hasn't, we just ask that thou wilt speak to their hearts. We pray, Father, that thou wilt help them to hear the call of the Lord Jesus coming to them individually. And we pray, Father, that they might respond in faith and trust him. and follow him. So, our Father, we just ask thee for thy help. We ask thee for thy blessing as we go home now. We give thee thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.